You are listening to KPTZ 91.9 in Port Townsend. Welcome to Book Lovers Cafe. Book Lovers Cafe is a program of author interviews and book reviews from around the Sound and beyond. I'm your host, Chris Wilson, and you can listen from the website kptz.org or Wednesdays live at 5 o'clock after calendar. Today, I'm really excited to have someone live in the studio, which is not often the case. And this man is really alive. His name is Dana Sullivan, and he is a picture book writer and illustrator. He's an art educator and a graphic designer. Welcome to you, Dana.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
You've written a lot of books. So the first one was called Ozzie and the Art Contest. And then they also include KK's Alphabet Safari, My Red Velvet Cape, and Our Family Farm. And then there's a new series coming out in 2020, in January, called The Dead Max Comics. And that's a graphic novel for young adults, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Middle schooler.
Middle schooler. Yeah. But, you know, there's a little middle schooler in all of us.
Yes.
So I really appreciate reading this as well. So let's talk about you. We'll talk about your diverse work later. But tell me more about Dana. When did this all sort of percolate up in your life?
Well, I've always drawn pictures. My parents always encouraged it. They were both English teachers, so, you know, there was none of that, oh, you can't go into the arts thing. But I was encouraged to draw and to play music. I play drums. And so I've always, mostly on my math papers, I would draw on the margins, things like that, because I wasn't very good at math. Mm-hmm. But I would at least entertain my teachers. And around fifth grade, I think I realized I might be okay at drawing, so I kept at it. And I've found that that's about the age when kids start figuring out what they are good and not good at, and they stop drawing, and they stop writing sometimes, and I hate that. So when I go to schools and I talk to kids, I tell them, I make them promise me that they will continue to write and draw. But I kept at it, and in junior high, I drew for the yearbook. And then when I got to high school, I drew for the school newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Were these comics, cartoons, funny things, or were these, you know, kind of illustrations that went along with?
More illustrations that went along with in the yearbook. Mm-hmm. But in the newspaper, it was more sort of standalone comics, or it would illustrate at a certain point. So, but I kept at it, and I took a lot of art in college and a lot of writing too. So a lot of reading, writing, and art. So I finally got my degree in comparative literature, a comparative lit degree. And then I immediately went to Seattle Central Community College and got my graphic design degree.
Okay. And so what became your day job then? You ended up in Seattle.
I did. And I tended bar for a long time as a student. And then I became a graphic designer. I wanted to be an illustrator, but I knew I had to make a living. And so I became a graphic designer, and I worked for a few different places, and including a small place that did the design work for Costco Wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I got to know them, and there was a new company, and they hired me away. They hired me to start their in-house or graphics in the marketing department. So I was there for 16 years.
So that's your bread and butter.
That was my bread and butter.
And then something happened. You had kids. Now you're in Port Townsend. How did that all come about?
Yeah. Well, the kid was why I became a graphic designer and went to work for Costco. I figured I needed something steady. And then eventually I needed a little more creativity. And I quit Costco and started taking lessons, and or I went to school for more illustration and classes in writing for children, And I joined the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators and went to a couple of conferences in New York, and then realized we had a chapter in Seattle, the Western Washington chapter. We have so many amazing children's book writers and illustrators around here. So I joined that organization and took more classes and just worked.
Well, so then, you know, your first big hardcover, big format, great looking book for kids is called Ozzie and the Art Contest. I'm holding it here in my hands. And it's just got this wonderful blue dog with kind of a black circle around his eye. You just immediately fall in love with him. He spilled the paint. And so tell me about how you decided to write this particular story and, you know, kind of the meaning, the lesson behind it.
Well, Ozzie is me. He was actually Max, my dog, who was a blue heeler.
Oh, okay.
Which is why he's blue. Mm-hmm. And I drew him a lot. He was kind of my muse. And I entered a contest for King County Disaster Preparedness, a coloring book that would go for kids to teach them how to prepare for a disaster. And I thought it was really a cool project. And I came up with two characters. I wrote a song. I storyboarded a book. I did a poster. And I remember literally thinking at the time, I was born for this project. I'm going to get it.
You believed this was for you.
I did.
It was meant for you.
Right. And I didn't get it.
Oh.
And I was so angry. Mm-hmm. And I was so surprised at my anger. I thought, wow, why am I so angry about this? And then I'd heard that you should write what really is, you know, special to you and what's really important to you. So I thought, I'm going to make a story out of this. And I had Ozzie very confident in his abilities to draw a picture of a boat.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't pay attention that well, and which is a lot like me. So he does not win, and he is so surprised and so amazed. And when the teacher points out that he drew a goat, mm-hmm. and the instructions clearly said a boat, I made Ozzie a lot better than I am. He laughs. He thinks it's hilarious. He just cracks up, and so he takes down his picture of a goat, and he folds it up into a boat. So I have origami instructions at the end of the book to how to fold a piece of paper into a boat.
I'm really looking forward to sharing this with my grandson, who's in first grade.
Good.
Over the holidays. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Now, he started out as Max in the art contest,
mm.
but David Wiesner, who has written a bajillion books and has a bajillion awards, and I've met, and he's a wonderful guy, he came out with a book called Art and Max, just as my agent started submitting this book to publishers. Mm-hmm. Art and Max, and my book was called Max and the Art Contest. And we realized we had to come up with a new name. Oh, no, I loved Max. But you know what's really funny? I searched and searched for a name, and I came up with Ozzie, and I really like it because it's what you call Australians. He's an Australian blue heeler, and it's just a cool name. And Ozzie became a different guy for me.
Oh.
So
his character changed.
He did. He did not much there, but in my head and in all the other drawings I did for him. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, and it kept the name Max open for me for later, which I
have used. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he just looks like an Aussie to me.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Me too.
The Aussie, the blue heeler. A great character.
Yeah.
Okay, so after Ozzie, then there's a series where you're writing for beginning readers. Mm-hmm. And that was you were collaborating with a writer and you were the illustrator. So, and I also want to mention that you have illustrated some of the Bob books.
Mm-hmm.
And for grandparents and parents who have been helping a struggling reader, the Bob books are a great tool to use along with reading aloud all the time. So tell us a little bit about these dogs, Digger and Daisy. They're pretty wonderful. And how did you happen to become the illustrator for this series?
Well, Sleeping Bear Press is who published Ozzie and the Art Contest. And they liked my drawing style. And they wanted to know if I wanted to illustrate somebody else's work. And I thought about it for about half a second and said, you betcha. And I saw they gave me very little instruction about who these characters were, except a brother and sister, a younger brother named Digger, and he had long ears and a short tail, and his older sister, Daisy, and she had long tail and short ears. Mm-hmm. So I drew a bunch of pictures and sent them in, and I didn't realize I was actually going up against somebody else. I'm glad they didn't tell me, because I would have been nervous. But I got the gig, and they are written by Judy Young, and there is an art, trust me, to early readers, because I think these are funny. They crack me up. When I draw them, they crack me up, and I've become very fond of Digger and Daisy, especially Digger. He's a little scamp, but I do crack myself up when I draw him.
Well, that's good.
My wife says she knows things are going well in my studio if I crack up.
Yeah, laughter from the studio is always a good sign. Well, just right here on the cover, I'm looking at Digger and Daisy go camping. And, you know, they just look like they're having so much fun. And Daisy is roasting marshmallows, of course, pretty, you know, normal kind of thing to do on the campfire. And Digger is roasting a dog bone, which is not the normal thing to be roasting. So you're already chuckling right from the get-go. Yeah. And I noticed in this book that, yes, there's little jokes in the story, but there's also more jokes in the illustration. And that's what beginning readers love to do. You know, they really pour over the illustration, the pictures, and that helps them read. So
exactly. They love finding little nuggets, little jokes in the illustrations.
So did Judy have any say in who was going to illustrate her books? Or did you meet her?
I don't think so. Not too many people know this, but generally authors and illustrators never meet or have any communication, because the publisher wants the most they can get out of an illustrator. So, in fact, many writers love to put in illustrator notes because, you know, they have an idea of who their character looks like. And publishers generally strip that out when they send it to the illustrator so they can get the most out of that illustrator, really stretch our minds and not be constrained by anything. And we'll come up with something, hopefully, even better than what they thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I once read that Lewis Carroll sent Sir John Tenniel pictures of little, or said he could, no, he sent them little pictures of little girls who might be Alice. And Tenniel sent them right back, said, I know what little girls look like. So this is nothing new.
I'm the publisher and, you know, keep your nose out of this.
Right.
Well, you know, I read something about how you described being an illustrator now, in, you know, close to 2020. And it's really different than it used to be, because it, just like graphic design, has really changed. Can you talk a little bit about your process of creating some of these illustrations and the technology behind it?
Sure. Well, I mean, coming up with ideas has been the same forever, I think. My process, and one thing that's constant is that everybody's different. Every writer I've ever talked to has a different process. Every illustrator, the same thing. But one thing I do know for sure is that it's a numbers game. Good ideas is a numbers game. The more ideas you have, the more you can pick the good ones out of the chaff, let's call it. And so I ask my students when we're to just draw fast, draw your character over and over in different positions. And things, mistakes sometimes will give you an idea of where to go with the story. So so I will draw, and then start thinking, if I'm drawing my own story, if I'm writing my own story, I think, what does he really want? What's this character's real want? And usually it's just like the Rolling Stones said, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you'll get what you need. Mm-hmm. And that's usually what every story is about in the whole world. Somebody wants something, they don't get it, but they get what they need. So that's where I start. But I also start very messy, very, very loose and freewheeling. And then I just storyboard down and get more and more.
Is your storyboarding what you call your blue pencil sketches?
Nope. Even before that. In fact, what I usually do, I sort of cluster. I just go and then I just keep drawing with one word. And then when I get kind of a story that I think might happen, I'll draw the beginning on a little storyboard that's, the whole thing fits on a piece of paper, one piece of paper, so I can see the whole thing. I'll figure out.
Not legal size, but just
8.5 by 11.
Wow.
Wide.
Uh-huh.
And so picture book is 32 pages.
Right.
And I start at the beginning, and I usually start at the beginning, and then I put in the end, and then I sort of fill in the middle.
Okay.
Because you can just keep going and going and going and realize, oops, I need 18 more pages, and you don't get them. So mm-mm. Anyway.
32 or 64.
Right. Sometimes 40. Okay. But yeah. Yeah. You go in pages of 8. But mine are all 32. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Because they're beginning readers.
Yeah. No, the beginning readers, they're fun where I get the actual text. Mm-hmm. So I didn't write it, but I get the text. And I try to think, Steve Henry, illustrator and writer, once told me a illustrator's job is to put more into the story than what's in the text.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my mantra when I start drawing. I want to tell more of a story than what you can see just in the words.
Okay.
So
we're talking to Dana Sullivan. And I'm Chris Wilson, and it's Book Lovers Cafe. And Dana is the author of a number of children's books. And he's the illustrator, but also the writer. And we're talking about some of these books. They're so different. Each one of them is completely different. And so we're going to start with, right now, a book called KK's Alphabet Safari. And this book was nominated as a Children's Choice Award by the International Library Association or Literary Association. And so how did you come to write this story set in Africa?
Well, my wife and I have been involved with an orphanage and school in Kenya for 10 years now. And we went to visit back in 2011 because once we started throwing dances to raise money for them. And we thought, well, if we're going to ask people to trust us, we better go look at this place ourselves. And we did. And it was just an amazing place. Kenya is such a poor country. And it was on this trip, interestingly enough, I got an email in a rare instance of internet connectivity. I got an email from my agent saying that Ozzy and the Art Contest was going to be published. Sleeping Bear Press had bought it. So I thought, I am an honest to God author and illustrator of children's books. And then panic hit me because I knew now I have to make a book about an orphanage in Kenya. And boy, isn't that going to be a happy little story. Because these kids are orphans for a variety of horrible reasons. Mm-hmm. And but when we got there, the place was, it's on near the Ugandan border, and it's out in the country, far from the city and the crime, and it's just beautiful. And the children were so beautiful. And we got to hug them. And we went into a classroom, and the buildings were made of mud brick. Which are, you know, it's dark in there. So they whitewash all the walls. And so we went into, because they have no electricity. So the sunlight has to come through the windows and light up the room. In fact, the kids sit on the floor too. They had no desks. So, but on the walls were these amazing pictures, drawings of animals from A to Z, teaching the kids their alphabet. And I started crying. Uh-huh. And so I asked, who did those? And it was a local sign painter, taxi driver, hair cutter named KK. And unfortunately, he wasn't there that week when we were there. So I've never met KK, but I knew I had the germ of my story, something about that. And so that's where the whole idea came from.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made an alphabet book, which is always fun to do. And kids love to read along with me. And I came up. I had to come up with the A to Z animals that were indigenous to Kenya. My favorite is Upupa bird, by the way.
I bet the kids that read this book like the Upupa
bird.
They do.
They like to say it with me.
They like to say that poopy bird,
yeah,
in the middle of the story. It's a really fun book.
Thanks.
And it's beautifully illustrated. And, you know, the feeling of the characters really comes across in it. And yeah, so congratulations.
Thank
on
you.
KK's Alphabet Safari. And so now, another sidetrack, not a sidetrack, but a way forward. I was listening to NPR about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, they start talking to this guy from the North Dakota Farmers Union Foundation, and they're talking about Dana Sullivan and his book, Our Family Farm. Everyone works on a family farm. And apparently it's called the Rhodes Family Farm. So tell us about this one, the family farm. Is there really a Rhodes Family Farm?
There must be somewhere.
Okay.
Yes, of course. I can say that. Of course. This was fun. My agent, her name is Anna Olschwanger, by the way, and I love her dearly. She's not huggable. She's very almost prickly, but my gosh, she works for me. So anyway, she wrote to me and said the North Dakota Farmers Union is looking to make a picture book. They've never made one before. They have no idea how to do it, but they want one. And it's got to be about a farm. And if you want to know more, you need to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So I signed the disagreement, and then I got the rest of it, which is basically, and we need it soon. I mean, that was pretty much
great.
So that was the whole, you know, the whole story. So my wife and I were coming up to visit my dad, who lived in Port Townsend, and we wanted to visit some farms. This was in August, and I knew, hey, there's going to be farms. Maybe I could. Well, in August, they are too busy. Everyone said, no, go away. Go away. Can I just walk around? Absolutely not. You can't walk around. Will get cut off. But I did notice a lot of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I were brainstorming about what we could do. And I finally realized, you know, I'm a dog guy. Every one of my books has a dog in it. Every farm should have a dog, and they do.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically made it a story about a dog who thinks he runs the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that dog is Rocky Rhodes, and his girl is Dusty.
Oh,
Dusty
that's
Rhodes.
Good. Yes, I like those.
And Rocky, you might notice, is a blue heeler.
Oh, there he is.
So there's Max again.
Yes.
And so I met with the farmers, and they are an amazing group. The North Dakota Farmers, Mark Watney is their president, and they've got 7 restaurants in the D.C. area.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they are up to the minute. They're not Cracker Barrels. No, they are gleaming metal and glass, and they serve, you know, handcrafted spirits from potatoes from North Dakota. Everything's from North Dakota. They have a big semi truck that, you know, drives all the mm-hmm. produce and the meat from North Dakota. They're the hippest places ever, and they're evidently, there's a waiting list, you know, for 6 months to get into the one, Founding Farmers. Do you love that name? Founding Farmers. That's in the
That's
DC
the name
area.
Of the restaurant? Okay.
That's one of them.
Well,
yeah.
I'm going over the holidays. I'll look it up.
And the one big rule was there will not be one straw hat, one bandana, and no overalls in this book,
mm-hmm.
because that's a, those books are from 70 years ago.
Right. You know, farmers no stereotypes.
No. So that was a very fun book to come up with. I'm working on a sequel.
That's right.
So these people had never made a book before, but they sure know how to sell books.
Yes.
And you won't find it on Amazon. You'll find it in their restaurants. You'll find it on their website. You'll find it at their conferences. And so they've sold enough. They want to go to a sequel. So I'm all over it.
That's great. And the idea behind this, that when he was talking on the radio, mm-hmm. was that he wanted to encourage more families and more young people to think about farming. Because, you know, what we usually hear is about how impossible it is and how difficult mm-hmm. it is. And you know, your books talk about some of the rewards and paint a picture of a farm that why everybody works.
Right.
It's still something that's really builds community and builds love and
right.
is the foundation of everything.
And in this
here.
Case, this family farm has 3 generations living on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most kids in America don't really know where food comes from except the store.
Mm-hmm.
So we really wanted to put that connection.
Okay. Well, before we go, we've got to talk about Dead Max. Now, we've been talking about Max, the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, here we are at this graphic novel that's about to come out next year, early next year. And it's called Dead Max Comics. And the first book is called The Deadening.
Mm-hmm.
but it's really funny. And it's really fun to look at and read. So tell me about the ideas behind this book. And it's really talking about, you know, really the things that happen in middle school to every kid.
Yep. Yep. So again, that's me. That's mm-hmm. my dog, Max. Mm-hmm. I didn't have Max when I was in junior high, but I did have another dog, Mike. Well, my real dog, Max, is still with me, but he's in an urn in my studio.
Oh.
So he passed away about 8 years ago. But I kept drawing him, and I kept drawing him as a ghost. And eventually that worked its way into a story. And I thought, well, you know, when I was in junior high, I could have used a ghost dog to kind of help me through my family life and through my school life. And I was, as I said, shy. And now Max is a great friend, but he's a little cranky and his advice isn't always the best. For instance,
yes.
When he knows that Derek, that's me, Derek, mm-hmm. likes Kim. And he says, "You do? Yeah, I can smell it." "Well, can you tell if she likes me?" "Well, you can do that. How? Sniff her butt."
That's right.
So,
Derek, that crack you up when you thought of that?
I loved it, yeah.
And right here on the cover, here is Max popping out of the dead Max urn. And uh-huh. that's an incredible story that really what came first, your dog and your urn.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, I got 77 rejections on that.
Wow.
And the most common comment was, "It's too dark."
Oh, but it's not.
It's not.
They didn't look at it. All right. Enough said about that.
Okay.
So you've been teaching and you've been doing some presentations here in Port Townsend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just finished a 6-week class at Port Townsend School of the Arts, teaching intro to picture book illustration. It was all of my students came up with a book. They come up with a dummy book in 6 weeks and they are all brilliant. And I've been teaching that. I've done a comics workshop at the high school. I'm doing a drawing session next month mm-hmm. on the 4th at Salish Coast. I'm going to do a presentation and a drawing session after hours, they call it.
Okay, so be prepared, parents, because all of a sudden there's going to be lots of comic strips and drawings and things appearing on your kitchen table, all because of Dana Sullivan.
I hope so.
Dana, before we go, you need to tell me, what's your favorite color?
Dog.
Dog is your favorite. Okay. And what's your favorite vegetable?
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter. Of course, dog and peanut butter. You'll have to read Dana's books to find out more about why he loves dogs and peanut butter. So that was fun. Please join me next time to talk more about books and authors. I'm your host, Chris Wilson. You can listen to past shows and other programs from our podcast page on the website, kptz.org. You can make a donation to the station there as well. Thank you so much, Mr. Chris Bricker, for sitting in the booth today. And thanks for all the support that we get from everyone in Port Townsend and around the Sound to bring you shows like this. We'll see you next time.